This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Charles Tilghman. Charles, thanks for being on the show.
Y'all ready for me to go?
No, not.
You can't take no calls or nothing?
Well, if you want to hang on for a minute, we'll take a break and we'll come back and take some calls.
Is it a media minute or is it like a black person minute?
It's a black person minute because a black person drives this show.
Afternoons on the Score.
This will be from 57. Cairo Santos with the boot. In the NFL, now in his sixth consecutive year with the Bears. Wasn't as good of a year as we've come to know from Santos last year, but from distance, he's as good as they get.
What has gotten into Cairo Santos?
I mean, he's always been good from under 50, but do you realize how good he's been from over 50 lately? I hadn't realized it had been this good. Last three seasons, he's 19 for 22 from 50 plus.
As he hit a 70.
Well, that's the thing about that one. That one looked like it would have been good from like
73.
Like 65.
Oh, Cairo's? Yeah. Cairo's would have been good from like 63, 65.
That was 57 for Cairo, and it was like solidly in, what, halfway up the upright? That was impressive as hell. Has he been working out? That's a question I like to ask certain athletes just to find out if they work out. Yeah, I think it's helpful. Historically, it's always seemed pertinent. But like that whole sequence was pretty solid, though, wasn't it? What'd you think of the way that all went down?
Well, forget about what I think about it. Why don't we hear what Case Keenum thinks about it? Because he said they did some really good situational football to give Cairo a chance.
Yeah, I think preseason, the situational stuff is a little bit different just, you know, because there's some situations maybe you punt when you don't normally do or go for fourth. I mean, you could see that happening towards the end of the game. But, yeah, with 6 seconds left to be able to get a completion and get the ball out of bounds, I thought Tyson did a really heads-up job, and Luther getting out of bounds when he did. We got to work on our clock, home field clock. Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, you'd think they'd stop it more on two than on zero. They did it twice, I think. So, yeah, and then Cairo making that kick was awesome. I mean, it was piercing into that wind. So he did a great job.
I mean, there's a whole sequence of stuff that led up to them even considering that chance. He called a timeout on defense with under 2 minutes to go against the Dolphins, called his first time out there, and all those things kind of come back. Like, first little test of head coach Ben Johnson game management was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was all right, and that's a good thing. I keep that thing in Miami, I feel like, is rotten. I feel like, and I like Mike McDaniel. I find him to be fascinating. I feel like he could be on the list of the first coaches fired.
Wow.
Because things have just gotten real bad down there.
Sloppy.
They were sloppy with the Bears, and then there was all the stuff like it with Tyreek Hill. then Jalen Ramsey, and then Tua being like, yeah, you know, Tyreek and I are not really on the same page. It's like, really? That's upsetting.
It's quite a thing to say out loud.
It sure is, in front of a whole bunch of microphones and whatnot. Yeah. It was a very strange thing to say.
But overall, like, it was that clock management. It was the going for it without a doubt on fourth down and the fact that it worked. And I know that's preseason, like Case Keenum is saying.
I don't even care about it working, but I do like that they're like, hey, it's fourth down. Run it. Like that they're getting them, the Bears as an organization are making a fundamental change. And it's funny because they – Adam Amin and Stacey Dales and Jim Miller actually talked a little bit about it. And, like, the numbers bear it out. Like, you should go for it. If you're near midfield, even if you're on the negative side of midfield, you should go for it on, you know, fourth and four or lower. In some cases, coaches will go for fourth and six and lower.
I mean, maybe this is all going to get uglier. Maybe it's the Dolphins. Maybe it's the newness of it. But I got to say, like, the impression that I had from watching that game, even though it wasn't the ones, was I felt like I was watching a well-run operation, a well-run football operation, like a passionate and organized, decently coached team.
Now, look.
That had an idea of what they were trying to do on both sides of the ball. I felt... What's the word that you feel when things go well and you actually kind of like one of your teams? What's that word?
Does it please you?
Pride. Oh. That's what it was. I had a little Bears pride as I watched that thing yesterday.
I do want you to be careful of looking at the non-Eberflusness of this. And then just assigning that everything is so much better.
I know.
Now, look, it's better.
That's
it's better. I don't want you to think that you're wrong.
That's fair.
It's better.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah, my coach didn't look like a complete, like, stone-faced and frozen buffoon, you know, as the clock wound down.
He didn't look like Sam Beckett when he jumps into someone on Quantum Leap. Because that's what he looked like. I'm convinced that that's what Eberflus looked like. You know, you ever watch Quantum Leap?
Yeah, I like Quantum Leap.
The moment
Scott Bakula,
yes,
Sam Beckett? Okay.
The moment when he jumps into someone new and he's disoriented and he's like, where am I? When am I? Uh-huh. Who am I? And then, you know, he will run into like a mirror and be like, oh, all right
now I got
I'm a rock star or something.
Right, he needs a mirror or a puddle or something.
Exactly.
He's got to try and figure out who he is.
I swear that I thought when that happened last year that Quantum Leap was still going and Scott Bakula jumped into Matt Eberflus.
And he's like, oh, I'm a head coach. I shouldn't be a head coach. I don't know what I'm doing.
As a coach.
I don't know how to do this job.
We're going for the game-winning drive. Our quarterback's got it. Mm. Go ahead.
I'm a defensive coordinator impersonating a head coach. This isn't going to go well. I never heard that comp. I should have listened to your old show more if you ever did that one. I like that one.
I throw a lot of sci-fi into it. But yes, that's what it looked like.
It said Dean...
Stockwell.
Dean Stockwell.
And Scott Bakula.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of Dean Stockwell.
Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh.
He was very good in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
And was he in Blue Velvet? Was he in David Lynch's Blue Velvet?
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes, Texas,
if
you're
I
right.
See something, I say something.
The word you're looking for is enthusiastic. but I was
once enthusiastic. I'm not proud of it. I am not proud
you're
of
reformed.
That period of my life.
You're reformed now.
I am a reformed enthusiast.
You're born again hard.
I am born again hard. So is Cairo Santos, by the way. I think he's been working out. I'm going to get to the bottom of that.
I think we should put him in the Slack, Alex. We can ask him.
Put Cairo in the Slack.
Cairo, have you been working out?
That's my first question. Absolutely my first question. But does anybody else share that odd sense of Bears pride that I had while watching that game? Is it just being a reformed enthusiast? Does it make sense for what we were watching yesterday?
The pride that you feel speaks is yes. Them not embarrassing you.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. I did.
The pride that you feel is that they have a real coaching staff. We don't know how good their coaching staff is going to be. That's still yet to be seen.
You're
but,
right.
Like, I feel like we can legitimately say right now that the Bears have a real, at least average level, and competent in many ways coaching staff.
So let's go back to something that we talked a little bit about on Friday, and this is Kevin Byard.
Man, this is the kind of thing that makes me think it's way bigger than what Alex is talking about.
So my feelings on this is Byard is a real dude, number one, and I take real dude seriously. Secondly, he's at the end of his career, so he doesn't have to lie for people if he doesn't want to. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't feel obligated. He shouldn't feel obligated at this point in his career to tell tales. This is what he said about the culture shift that's taking place with the Bears.
Just his intensity, attention to detail. He's a leader of men. I know that's always kind of been talked about just as a head coach, but I just really enjoy the energy that he sets every single day. You know, I've been part of a new kind of leadership change, culture change, and it feels very similar. With just doesn't matter if you're year one, undrafted, year 10, you got to come in and show every single day and show and prove. And you feel it, you know what I mean? So, like I said, as a veteran, I've been through it, and it's very similar to what it was when I was with Vrabel. So, and I don't like to make the comparison as far as, like, just because we have Vrabel's going to have success, whatever it may be, but just I understand what it's like to have to reset a culture, and I think he's doing a great job.
So, if the dude is resetting a culture and doing a good job of that in the eyes of a real dude, like you say, who unprompted brings up Mike Vrabel and the resetting of the culture that he lived through the first time around, and he's a really good offensive mind and a creative play caller, whew, then you got something. Then you got something. Then you've got the next Kyle Shanahan. You got the next Sean McVay. You know, you've got something that you can really get excited about, and that is intriguing. I felt like, let's go to his bread and butter. Then, didn't you feel like you saw a lot of really well executed play action yesterday? That just was some very sensible stuff from both of the other quarterbacks. Frankly, just like, and they made some good throws. Sometimes, you know, sometimes hit, sometimes miss. But we could go and find specific points where you're like, oh, look at that. There's play action, and there's an open guy 18 yards down the field.
Yeah, so you got to see a little bit of difference too. Like, they ran a little bit of shotgun with Tyson Bagent. They also had him under center. Like, so you got to see a plethora of things that Ben Johnson was putting out there offensively, and we'll see kind of where it goes. It's similar yet different, because we have gone through the, hey, you got the defensive coach, now you got an offensive coach, so let's see kind of where the offense is at right now and see some improvement there. And I'm trying to,
hey man, look,
steel myself to not get overly excited about stuff.
Well, look, you're on it, and I'm glad you're here. I don't say it often enough. I'm glad you're here.
Or at all.
That might be the first time I've said it. Tyler, were you running tape on that? It'd be good. Just you have that in case Lawrence needs it sometime.
Baby T's taking notes all day.
All right. I like that he talks about himself in the third person.
Damn right.
A lot. But yes, because we get excited about the newness. We get excited about the newness and the differentness. And I think we're past the point where his best characteristic is not being Matt Eberflus. I think we're past that.
I don't think we're quite past it yet, but here's the thing.
Yes, sir.
Because there was no other real option for Bears fans on this one. There were a couple of names that you could throw around. There were people that you were hoping that they might interview. But if Ben Johnson wanted the Bears job, pretty much everyone wanted him to have it. So there is a buy-in that he has that no other coach who's come here to coach this team has ever had. Like, no one was like, they got to go get Dave Wannstedt. No one was like, you know who they got to get? They got to get Matt Nagy. This was, hey, there's one guy.
Yeah, it's one
there's
guy.
One guy. And the Bears went and got him. So I do think that that Ben will get a lot of slack just because people are like, no, this is the guy. Like, I'm convinced this is the guy. Look at what the offense in Detroit has done for years and years under him. Look at the growth. The statistics aren't necessarily that dissimilar for Jared Goff, LA to Detroit, but you see a difference in him as a player and as a leader in what he's done in Detroit. And Ben is a big reason for that.
I think you're right. I think Ben is getting some slack. I think that, you know, some of the people who have been upset that Caleb didn't play in the first preseason game can see the wisdom in what Ben's doing. We led the show with that. And I mean, I haven't seen as much pushback, especially now that Marshall left after transition, because he had some pushback, and that's fine. But like, there hasn't been a ton of it, because I think there's a willingness to believe that Ben actually might know what he's doing. We led the show talking about the pre-game practice yesterday morning at 8 a.m. that Ben Johnson helmed. It was pretty fascinating. You ought to go back and listen to the first couple segments if you missed it. Declan Doyle spoke today and talked about what today's practice is, because that's the third part of it. We had the joint practice on Thursday, and then it was
joint
Friday.
Joint practice on Friday. Off day Saturday. Starters didn't play Sunday, so you would think today they got after it a little bit.
Yeah, so this was the starters in practice today, but just having a practice on a Monday after a game was odd, but it was very much by design. Here's Declan Doyle on that.
So the biggest thing is the guys who didn't play in the game or guys who played limited reps, they're going out and having a good work day. It's kind of what I've been exposed to around Sean Payton the last, you know, 6 years of being around that. We always practice the day after a game. And I think it actually goes back to Bill Parcells. But there's this misnomer that, you know, you're playing in the game and there's a really physical wear and tear for all of them. A lot of them are taking more limited reps. So guys that are under, you know, call it 15, 20 reps, really they're ready. They can still go practice today and still go have a good day. And really it's geared more towards those starters that didn't play in the game yesterday, trying to give them this game-like feel.
So there you go. That's step three of the three-step process of giving Caleb and the ones a whole lot of work surrounding a game that they did not play.
And just to keep adding to the folder of different coaches do different things, Bo Nix played extensively.
Now for Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm. Had 11 passing attempts in their game. So just something to keep in mind.
It is something to keep in mind. This great discrepancy that's going on around the league of how to think about preseason
and whether it matters and whether it matters, whether these practices can simulate enough that you feel like your team is well prepared. And I do think that the next CBA will be 20 regular season games and no preseason games. I think that's where we're heading. And it's been a slow creep to get it to 18.
Yeah.
I think we're going right to 20.
You know, it probably will, because the idea of maybe televising the joint practice sounded pretty good. And like and then the idea yesterday came to me, like, kind of wish they televised that morning thing that Biggs got to watch.
That would have been really cool to see that.
I would have loved to watch that thing. Like 87 plays they ran with the ones out there throwing against air. I know.
Routes on air.
Routes on air.
You don't want to go too overboard with it.
No.
But let's get back to that for a second. Because on the broadcast, they talked about Caleb's pregame workout.
Obviously, the starters, for the most part, sitting today. But most of those starters got to go through that 70-play workout. Give me a sense of what you think Caleb is going to get out of these moments and what he's trying to get to with Ben Johnson.
Well, it's more reps. I talked to Ben Johnson for a period of time after the workout was completed. They're going to have him go through another 25 or so tomorrow. And it's literally taking him through the cadence. And there's a lot on his plate. I mean, it's the motions, it's the shifts. They're going to do a lot more of that offensively, Jim, this season.
And you saw Ben Johnson talking to him directly. All right, that way he can call the play, say, hey, here's the coverage. And this is where the play caller and the quarterback, they talk through things. Hey, man, I'm expecting this versus this coverage. And they will talk through where Caleb will get a good vision of what his play caller is expecting of him.
So, yeah, it speaks to the direct communication. And Jim Miller seeing the value in that, the fact that Ben Johnson ran that entire 1 hour of pregame practice. That's significant.
That's the part that I think is the most interesting. It's that he was just out there like putting Caleb through it. And it was not that it would be any different necessarily if it was Declan Doyle that was out there running it. But we all know that Ben wants Caleb to see the game the way that Ben sees it. And what better way for there actually to be a he found a portion of time where I am going to work with my quarterback.
Yeah, one-on-one.
I'm going to not through. Like, he isn't going to work with me through the rest of the staff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be me. I'm going to be right there with them. And I'm going to be able to be like, hey, you know, your footwork was bad on that last drop back. And here's why. Here's why I want that ball to come out there. This is why this guy is running a 12.5-yard route. And this is why we're throwing it here. Like, all of that stuff where the head coach has so much other stuff to do. It's interesting that he was able to be like,
I'm gonna give this day 1 hour of extremely focused time.
Yeah, I wonder how long ago he thought this up.
Yeah, you know, because it's part of the different way of utilizing his coaching staff. Like, he's got a guy in Declan Doyle who's willing to do some of the grunt work. Like, I wonder if Ben was a little less involved in some game day activities or some in-game activities because he's focusing his time and his energy on the ones.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
And maybe he got in a nap.
I got in a nap yesterday.
Did you? Was it glorious?
Oh, dude.
But it was a smart move because you went to the Wilco show.
Yeah, I went to a concert at night, and I knew I was then going to have to stay up late and catch up on Cubs and everything like that. And I had hit and run yesterday morning, and I'm watching the Bears, and it's like, I got a nap, and I chose to go to the bed.
That's a dangerous game that you play.
It's so true.
That's a dangerous game, sir.
The couch nap, but I set an alarm. I said, you know, all right. I set an alarm, so I guess it doesn't really matter where I go, right? Or the bed, the danger in the bed nap is that it could be an hour and a half,
right,
to 2 hours, and all of a sudden you're just sleeping.
And right, then it's not a nap anymore. You've gone to bed. There's a difference.
There really is. It's
so funny. I was actually talking about taking naps the other day, and I was, because I have mine on here, and I'm like, okay, my nap time is 41 minutes. Like, that's the
41 is long. 41 is dangerous.
It's about as far as you can go without falling into REM.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Scientifically, you've looked into this?
Yep.
It's like, it's about as far as you can go without going into the fifth dimension.
It's as far as you can go without messing up your sleep for the night. You go in pretty much any longer than 45.
Then you're just sleeping.
But I've had great success with the nice 15-minute one. The 15-minute one,
boy. That's what Christine swears by the 15-minute nap.
You're like, I'm ready now.
Swears by it. Yeah. 15 is not enough. I need somewhere around 30, 35. 41, interesting.
41.
Okay.
That's what the science told me.
I learned a little something today.
Speaks has got broadcasting nuggets, and we need to talk about a patch next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside.
And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Mark Potash.
Thanks for remembering me.
Well, we remember you, man.
They'll take the North guys, drop me like a hot potato as soon as I left, and I got a phone to pick with those guys. But Spiegel and Holmes show is on the good list.
Afternoons on the Score.
Looking for a stop on the goal line again. It is right, and it is a stop, and it is Sewell, and the Bears hold on.
Speaking of the Take the North guys, did you see the news today?
I didn't see the other half of the news. I saw the first bit of the news that Dan Weider is no longer with the Tribune.
Well, he won't be after this week. He's going to do one more week of coverage of the Bears for the Tribune, and then we don't know. He was very mysterious today on Take the North. We've got to find out where he's going to go.
I chose not to reach out and hound the man. I chose to let him go through whatever he's going through and figuring out. He did say that the coverage will not change on Take the North. So he will be around.
That's good.
And part of that podcast.
I mean, I've got some ideas because, you know.
How to change their coverage?
No, there have been some changes around Chicago media.
Oh, I see.
And I'm like, I could figure out, like, if we were doing Tetris, I'd be like, oh, I know a place where he might fit. But I'm really happy for Sean Hammond.
Oh, Sean Hammond, your guy Sean Hammond.
Yeah, man.
He was launched and now he's back.
Yeah, because he was laid off, and now with Dan going, they need someone to cover the Bears. And
yeah.
And I'm glad that Sean gets to kind of redo his dream job of covering the Bears every day for the Tribune.
That's really cool. Yeah, and we'll see what happens to Weedsy, where Weedsy ends up. Hopefully it's a very good thing.
Weedsy.
So the Bears have this GSH patch on the sleeve of their jerseys, George Halas, right?
Stanley.
George Stanley Halas. So they have those initials. Yesterday.
Staley? Stanley, right?
Stanley.
I think it's Stanley.
Yesterday, they. Stanley. No, you're right. It's George Stanley Halas Sr. Yesterday, they debuted a new patch for the late matriarch, Virginia McCaskey Halas. And let me say, maybe I'm the only one who had this thought. I thought it was awkward. Thought it's kind of large, and it's
in charge.
The M is really, really big as compared to the V and the H. And you kind of have to remind yourself, oh yeah, the M is for McCaskey. That's her name. But it felt like, boy, they're really trying to make sure that the McCaskey name gets out there front and center. Am I being disrespectful? Am I being an a-hole? I found it a little jarring, and I didn't think it looked great necessarily.
I'm going to say no. And the reason that I think that you've got some cover on this, Speaks,
yeah,
is because George himself,
when he was with the broadcast?
Yeah, when he was on the broadcast, was like, yeah, I don't think she'd like it.
We wanted to do something understated. You know, if she were to see this patch that the players are wearing on their jerseys, she'd be calling me up and giving me what for,
sure.
What are you doing? But we thought it was a proper and appropriate and respectful way to honor all that she has meant to our family and to the Bears and to the greatest city in the world.
See, George knows it's too big.
It brings about a really interesting, like, existential question of when someone passes, is the proper way to honor them the way that they would like to be honored versus the way that you would like to show your appreciation?
Yeah,
for them?
That's a good question. That is a good question.
Because if you know, like, you know, because it's your mom, that she wouldn't like that, then
then why are you doing it? Because the whole thing is to honor her, so you want to do it in a respectful way. Well, I will say, the fact that they're not going to wear throwbacks at all this year,
I think that's dope. I love it.
They're just going to go with her favorite jerseys and just wear those, and that's what they want. Do you think it's just... do you think it just looks awkward because the GSH is so small, or is that the M for Chicago and Bears and Hallis? I'm not used to having an M-centric thing anywhere in like the art and the aesthetics of the entire Bears organization.
It's weird because even though we know that the Bears have been run by the McCaskey family, we associate everything still with Hallis.
Yeah. Hallis so, Hall.
Like all of it.
All
like,
of it, everything.
So it's dramatic of a change for everyone to be like, oh yeah, what's that M for?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's for McCaskey?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as authentically 1920 football drive.
Correct.
As Hallis does.
Very McCaskey centric. Of course, it was made by a big pile of McCaskeys. There's an enormous pile of them. I get it.
The family runs it. It just, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
It's not your brand. McCaskey is not the brand. Hallis
is your brand.
Is the brand.
And you've chosen that and run with that. So yeah, it felt a little... A little awkward to me. Here's George also talking about the stadium. He kind of doubled down on some messaging that struck both you and me on Friday.
Yeah, but we've got to convince them that this is going to be great for the state. And that's on us. We need to do more work in that area. We need to do more convincing. Kevin Warren is leading that effort. He's doing a great job. He did it in Minneapolis. And we're confident that he can do it here in Chicagoland.
So on Friday when they came out and they talked about the jobs bill and how they wanted it to be a jobs bill, and George said, we've got to do a better job downstate. He's staying on that message. That's clearly what it's about. They're pointing a thumb while also trying to lean on the state legislature to get this done in the veto session.
They're going to have to do some work, and we know that. I'm convinced that split focusing had been going on with the Bears for a while, for whatever reason, whether it was leverage or because Kevin Warren really wanted to see if they could get the thing done in the city. Because they were able to do that in Minneapolis. I think now that there's no more split focus, there are no more pep rallies, there's none of that nonsense going on, they can focus on what they should have been focusing on from the get-go, which is getting other people in other constituencies that aren't necessarily Bears fans. Like we tend to think of this place as Chicagoland, yes, that's the case. But you go further south in this state, there are a lot of people who are Colts fans down there. There are some people that are Rams fans because of the proximity to St. Louis before the team moved. So they need to go and say, hey, we're doing this. We want state money. This is why we need it.
Yeah.
We're going to make this a place that's not just for the Bears, though we're going to be in charge of the money.
And it's not just for Chicagoans. I mean, that part, I don't know how much they're selling that, but if they're really interested in this, go downstate and tell them, hey, guess what? It's going to be a lot easier for you to get to a Bears game now. You don't have to go to the city to go to a Bears game. You'll be able to road trip right to Arlington Heights. You could even take a train. We're going to make sure the train stop is there. That's what this bill is about. Shouldn't they should be selling the Bears to suburbanites as being more accessible with this.
Suburbanites, I don't think you have to worry about that. I'm not talking about the collar counties. I'm talking you're going to have to convince people in Decatur. Well, maybe Decatur would be easy because it's Staley's.
Right.
But you're going to have to convince people in Champaign, you know, like, hey, We want this money, and we know that it's state money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not convinced, by the way,
yes,
that it is going to be easier to get to games. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But once you get to the stadium, it won't then take you an hour to still get to the stadium. Because that's the thing with Soldier Field. It takes you a good 45 minutes. Like, oh, I'm here. I can see it. And 45 minutes later, then I'm there. That's the thing, man. You could be standing at Roosevelt. You'd be standing here, like, on 11th Street near, like, the skate park over there. And you're like, there it is. I can see it. Now I got to do is go under here and then under that and then over there.
And I'm over there.
And before you know it, that's the problem.
I was talking to to a friend of mine that went to the Beyonce concert, and they were telling me about, oh, yeah, you know, I walked back across, and I ended up on like Balbo and Wabash to get picked up.
Sure.
And I go, hey, why didn't you just take the 18th Street Bridge over to, because you could have easily then found a nice Uber. And they were like, well, where's that? I'm like, oh, it's right there.
I know. Yeah. Some people figure it out someday.
I really wish they would, Speaks. I really wish they would, because it's like, it's so convenient. Just
all right.
Walk on over there. Now you're in the Prairie neighborhood, and it's awesome over there.
A couple other things from the broadcast. I had never heard this particular description of Luther Burden before. I had never heard this.
Luther Burden is just so technical in his routes, and he missed some time with a soft tissue injury, but he has started, as Jim alluded to earlier, come on of late and start to figure this thing out mentally, which is a really good sign, because you know, I had a good conversation with one Bears exec. They kind of see him as, if Rome and DJ had a baby, it's Luther Burden.
A really nice combination of skill set.
He's the love child of Rome Odunze and DJ Moore. You see that?
Yeah.
Is that possible? Luther Burden is bigger on a football field than I had like kind of remembered and sort of processed since the draft, you know? Because like you think about the speed and the explosiveness after the catch and stuff, but that's a large man. That's a good wide receiver body out there.
He's been really fun to watch. Now that he's healthy and he's out there, you can see how he can make a difference. And if you send a receiving core out there that's got an ex like Rome Odunze, mm-hmm. and then a player like DJ, and then ideally whether you want to use DJ in the slot or not, and then Luther Burden, that could be a lot of fun.
And then this description of a guy who we have not mentioned, and it came early in the game, so it really rang very hollow when it came, and then he went out and had the game of his life in the preseason. This is Austin Booker described.
So Zach Wilson's second drive, under pressure, could not stay on his feet long enough. And this is a rusher that's going to have to make an impact behind Sweat and Odengbo. This is Austin Booker, who had his rookie year last year.
Yeah, it's really up for grabs, whether it's him, whether it's Robinson. Hey, it's up for grabs. Who's going to be the next guy? Booker, we've described. I mean, this guy is a poor man's Mad Max Crosby. Probably came out too early, has gotten bigger, has gotten stronger. The Bears like his juice, and you saw it right there on that play. Wins the one-on-one, and that's a nice sack for a loss.
A poor man's Mad Max Crosby. Your thoughts?
Be careful.
That's what I thought.
Now
That's
look.
And then he has the game of his life.
And a lot of people have said that this was a futures pick by the Bears. That because he came out a year earlier than his development probably should have had him come out, that the Bears will have something with a year of NFL training and stuff. But things were really bad with the Bears last year. So you don't know what to value as far as what he learned last season. There are a lot of people I know that have been very high on him. And I hope that he can be a factor. I'm not going to go crazy, even though he had a spectacular game yesterday.
He had three sacks on three different kinds of moves. One was he was playing the run fake and then overpowered the tight end. One, he did a spin move on Jermaine Ifedi, our old friend. And then he had the power where he had like a hand punch and then got the clear path for that last one. And that like big butterfly swim stroke to envelop Zach Wilson from behind, that had to be so satisfying, man. Isn't that something like you dream of? Like if you were going to be a defensive end, you'd want to be chasing a quarterback from behind and both arms go there and you just like, you rip the ball away with one arm while you drag him down with the other. Then you just get to stand there and watch somebody else pick up the fumble. It's awesome.
I want to get the fumble too.
Yeah, he didn't do that.
It's all right. But he had a great game yesterday.
He had a great game.
They need another impact pass rusher. They desperately need one. The Cubs need another impact bat.
They've got some, though.
One of their bats isn't batting the way that it used to bat. And even though it's still getting on base.
Sunday nights, you get not only the National ESPN crew and the National ESPN radio crew, you get the StatCast crew.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Brown of the Orioles and Mike Petrello. They did some good work on Kyle Tucker.
If you want to know what's going on with Kyle Tucker, don't go anywhere. We will share with you next here on the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Are there mechanical things that you're working through that you think may have been kind of effects of trying to, of the hand, just with the
I don't know, maybe at first, but I mean, I feel fine. I mean, I don't really know mechanically, I guess, wise, what potentially could be the issue. I mean, if you got any suggestions, like, listen, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I feel like I'm still swinging at the pitches I want to and taking the ones I don't want to swing at. I just, you know, the pitches over the plate, I just end up fouling off, or, you know, might swing and miss at times, and, you know, then I just end up getting worse counts, and it kind of just doesn't work out from there. But I mean, I still swing at the pitches. I just need to figure out how to put those forward instead of, you know, not.
That was Kyle Tucker last week, kind of putting a wet blanket over the whole "my hand hurts and that's why I'm not hitting for power" thing. I don't know what to believe. Like, I still see a guy who's having great at bats. It's just that when he hits the ball, it is not going as far or as fast.
Boog Shambi shared something a couple weeks ago about how that finger has affected the power, because Dustin Kelly calls that thumb the accelerator button, that it's the accelerator button. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about that, that the hitting coach talks about the thumb as an accelerator button. And so what we're seeing, it made me think that that has some validity. So I've been interested in any sort of follow-up in that way. And so I wasn't watching the StatCast broadcast last night, but Kevin Brown, the Orioles TV guy, and Mike Petrello, the director of research for MLB and MLB.com, who hosts that, were talking about the decline for Cubs hitters. Here's a general one about overall the Cubs struggles at the plate first.
And it really feels doom and gloom for a team that still has the fourth best winning percentage in baseball, but that's because the Brewers have been great. And if you look at this board here, you can see there are four big, let's say, aircraft carriers. just haven't quite been the same. Pete is fine because it's just been the last week or so, but Tucker is the one who really stands out here because this is a guy who's been consistently great for 6-7 years going into his free agent year, and the last 2 months have been a big struggle for him.
What stands out in the struggles?
You know, you'd think it would be strikeout rate, but it's not. From the good times and bad times, about the same. It's almost entirely hard hit rate. So it was 46% hard hit rate through the end of June and 33% since. And you can trace that back to a decline in bat speed.
In first against the Reds when he hurt his right ring finger. And he says, I'm fine, but it seems like, talking to folks around the Cubs, it could be a lingering issue.
Weird though, right? Because like the timing doesn't match up. June 1st, you said in June he was great, hit 311 with a 578 slugging. So like, is it possible it started bothering him weeks later? Sure, but it's kind of weird.
It'll be something else, who knows. But this is a real number, 70.3 miles per hour bat speed in August. That's down 1.6 from July. It's down more than 2 miles per hour from June.
And that may not seem like a big number, but that's a massive number in season, right? To give you a quick piece of context, if you hit the ball, a hard hit ball in the air, every mile an hour of bat speed gets you about 5 feet of distance. So if you're down 2 miles an hour, now you're losing 10 feet of distance, that turns home runs into fly ball outs.
There is some analysis of the bat speed number for Kyle Tucker, which has taken a dip. When you see a small sample of that, it could be, well, maybe he's swinging at different pitches, right? Or like maybe he's trying to do something with different pitches, or he's not going all out because of pitch selection and whatever. But when it gets stretched out over a larger sample, that makes a lot of sense to me. The hard hit rate has gone away, and that's because the bat speed has gone away. So something is keeping him from swinging the bat quite as fast as he usually does.
So you think it's the injury?
I do. I think it's lingering stuff with that finger, even if maybe he made an adjustment and the adjustment he made isn't helping him in the way that he thought it was helping him. And so he's expecting a certain amount of power and hard hit, and it's just not happening because of that adjustment. Something is off, and it's a big batch of fine motor skills. You know, it's a swing, man. Swings are incredibly complicated and delicate.
Is there we have another one, right? Another cut on this?
No, I think that was had the one.
It had the
30 seconds in the back of the buck 40.
All right, no
problem.
So
yeah, so that's the one.
I'll eliminate this one from the dock.
You get rid of that.
Yes, seeing him struggle like this, but I still look at the value of the at-bats that he's given you, even if he's not 100%, he seems to be giving you 100% of whatever it is that he has. And he's not going out there and swinging wildly. He is still in control of the strike zone.
You're right. That's a testament to his approach, that he hasn't let it get him off of his standard approach.
Because, I mean, you look at some of the other guys that are struggling right now, where you look at at PCA, who's a free swinger anyway, but he looks like he's not right. Like, he doesn't look as comfortable, as confident as he was at any point in the season up until about 3 weeks ago. He just kind of looks like guessing. You know, that's what it feels like when I'm watching him now.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm in control of this.
Right.
Like, I'm going to do it. Now it's like, ooh. I got to figure out a way to do something. Yeah, I got to help my team.
He's not pouncing and attacking. You know, in the same kind of way.
Seems defensive.
Yeah.
You know, like his at bats seem really like, all right, I got to do something. I got to try to put this ball in play somehow.
Yeah.
But they got to figure this out, because you're running out of time. Like, that's the beautiful thing about baseball, and the thing that once it feels accelerated once we get to this point in the season, where we spent a lot of the season going, there's a lot of time left. Yeah. Don't worry. This stuff that's happening to the Cubs is happening at a pretty terrible time inside of the season, because there's not a lot of room for you to recover. And then you look up, and then these jokers won't lose.
I misspoke, by the way. It's not the thumb. It's the index finger. So that's the one that Dustin Kelly calls
the trigger,
the accelerator button. Yep. That index finger, because you're gripping the bat so hard. When you're Kyle Tucker anyway, he's a guy who grips the bat incredibly hard. So thank you to the textures for reminding me of that.
We appreciate you. How about a Bears hit? Bears have finished practice. Jason Leisure is going to join us from Hallis Hall. We'll ask him what he thought of the patch on the Bears jersey. We'll do that next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.